Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
Good evening, everybody. What's up? This is your boy, T'Angelo, and this is Love, Dance, and the Hate in Between Them. Alrighty, what's going on, you guys? What's going on? It has been an exceptional week so far. It's been so full of different things and a lot of activities and trying to prepare ourselves. But, you know, that's how we do it here with Entrepreneurs on the Move. You know, got to be moguls and do it in our own way. Let's see. Well, as you guys know, we love Dance Haven. We like to discuss pop culture and music and things about college, healthy living, and all those sorts of things. So today we have a great show lined up for us. We'll be discussing Super Bowl halftime shows and how to use the and factor when searching for a new job or something like a career. Those are things to look at. We'll have the Celebrity Hub, and inside the Celebrity Hub, we'll discuss Tyler Perry, Mariah Carey, and Nick Cannon's set of twins that's coming up. We also will have Mr. Courtney Smith that we missed last week. He actually is back, and so we're going to have him on tonight to discuss politics so we can get our views on that. It is also Black History Month, you guys, so we have to take a moment to make sure we honor those who have done great things and have impacted our lives in a positive way. And so for tonight, we're going to honor Sidney Poitier, the actor and legend. So we'll learn a little bit about him this evening. And then also tonight, we have a special guest, Michael Real, the senior editor of RealUrbanNews.com. He's an exceptional guy, so I can't wait to speak with him this evening. So you guys, stick around, because when we return, we'll be able to discuss more about Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon's twins, and we'll go from there. Now we'll take a break and hear a little some music.
International Big Mega Radio Smasher.
I had the time of my life, and I never felt this way before. And I swear this is true, and I owe it all to you.
Oh, I had the time of my life, and I never felt this way before. And I swear this is true, and I owe it all to you.
Dirty bit.
All these girls, they like my swagger. They calling me Mick Jagger. I be rolling like a stone jet set, a jet lagger. We ain't messing with no maggots, messing with the baddest chicks in the club. Honey, what's up? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the baddest of them all? Yeah, it's gotta be the Apple. I'm the Mac Daddy, y'all. Haters better step back, ladies.
Download your app.
I'm the party application, rocking just like that.
This is International Big Mega Radio Smasher.
Cause I'm having a good time with you, I'm telling you.
Alrighty, you guys, what's going on? That was my cut. I'll be filling that Black Eyed Peas right there. So anyhow, now we'll discuss some tea projects. I've been mentioning this, but it's just because it's one of the biggest things going on with me. The clock is still counting down to the day I get back to school. I recently went to the bookstore and priced my books, and I am always amazed at how much books cost. I mean, these damn things are off the chain. For you other students out there, I know you feel my pain. For those about to go to school, get your pocketbooks right. I also must say I'm kind of hating that, like, every freaking semester they're changing the edition. Like, you know, the book that they had last semester is old because now they had the 0.5, and now they had the 5.2. I'm thinking that's a bit ridiculous. I know there's some insightness to that, but, hey, that'd be how it is sometimes. So, I'm also gearing up for scholarship things. So for those who are gearing to go to college, when I attended the Black College Expo last month, I learned about scholarships and things of that nature. And pretty much it's never too early to get started on collecting money to go to school, as I have just started embarking on my higher education about a year and some change ago. I'm well behind the time frame that one would want to start doing that, but with that being said, I just have to work a lot harder to get it done. So I would say start trying to find your scholarship money for those students preparing to go to school, to go to college, you know, because you don't want to have to try to figure out how to pay for it all yourself. It's a lot of funds out there and a lot of different charitable events and things like that. So you'll definitely want to get out there and do your searches and get on the grind. I plan on trying to get with the lady who spoke at the expo and have her on the show, hopefully, and we'll learn more about that. So just keep an eye out for that. Then my mother's world event is this weekend. Yeah! So you guys definitely, happy birthday, Ma. I love you. I'm super excited for that. We even got my mother like a party line. It's funny enough. So the guests get to call into this party line. It's 714-MOMS. It's the phone number, M-O-M-Z. It's really cool. And there they can get like, all the details to the event. So that's super cool. I'm excited. That's another little project I'm working on. And then you heard me mention the Leimert Park Chargers over the last couple of weeks. They were in competition this past weekend. And I must give a big applause to them. We're going to give a big Haiti how you do congratulations because these young ladies took first place in hip-hop once again. Yeah! So we wanted to say congratulations to Leimert Park Chargers with that. And I also know they took, I think, first place in show cheer as well. So that's really good for them. So congratulations. They put a lot of work in. And so I want to just give them a woo-woo. Okay. Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them is now available for sponsorships and advertisements. So if you have a growing company and need a little cost-efficient promotion, definitely contact me at tangelo@eotmradio.com, and we can put you out there and make sure you get a little time. So I'm going to go ahead and play a little something so you can see what we can do for you. Here's a little something.
BET, home of some of the greatest shows, such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites, such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106.
Yeah, you guys. So this is a little something that we do there, so you definitely want to hit us up at tangela@eotmradio.com. So I mentioned Celebrity Hub, things that's going on out there in the world. Currently, you may or may not have been aware that Mariah Carey, not too long ago, announced that she was pregnant, and we found out that her and husband Nick Cannon are actually having twins. Wow, for your first time out the gate, you're having twins. Well, congratulations, I'll say. But Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon are having a boy and a girl. A source close to the couple confirmed that fact, and the singer actually broke the gender news to Life and Style recently, telling the magazine, even before we announced it was twins, I was trying to keep everything gender neutral because I didn't want to impose an identity on them too soon. There had been fans on Twitter that had a contest of what the gender would be, and rumors were coming from everywhere about them being two boys or two girls. But funny enough, no one guessed this one. So that's pretty funny, as everyone's putting their bid in for two boys or two girls. It just didn't get put out there. It could have been one of each. So that's pretty funny. The couple revealed their pregnancy back in October 2010, after they had been trying to hide it and keep it, you know, quiet for quite some time. But I know Nick Cannon was out and about not too long ago, and he had shared that the newly pregnant wife, Mariah, is doing well. And she's, you know, doing well with the two children. She's been cooking up a storm, he mentioned, to Access Hollywood. And he said that she has been really over the top, just cooking and cooking. But then the funny part is she's not really hungry. So he ends up eating most of the food. So now that she doesn't eat, he eats up all the food. He's the one gaining weight. That's pretty funny. So that's that sometimes happens out here, that the husband gains the weight that the wife, while the wife is pregnant. So now we know why. Nick also confirmed that the rumors are correct, that President Obama was the first to learn that the couple was having twins. He explained how that happened, that Mariah, his wife, and she said, wouldn't it be a great story to be able to tell the children that the first people to know that they were going to be people in the world would be President and First Lady Obama? And Nick recounted. So she told them at the same time, you know, when they saw them there. So that would be a great story to tell the kids when they get older. In fact, President Obama seemed to know that they were twins before Mariah even uttered the words. Nick goes on to say he, the president, knows. He can kind of tell, I guess, the way her look was going or whatever, and him spending time around kids and pregnant ladies, I imagine. So in the run of things, it's all pretty cool. They're doing well, and we're going to wish them the best. They're out doing their things. Soon-to-be Mother Mariah Carey is keeping herself healthy and staying in the house, not doing too much. And everyone heard about the little tabloid news and things like that, and they're saying, don't worry about what the tabloids print out. Get it from the horse's mouth, and they will let you know how they're doing. So, Nick Cannon, Mariah Carey, congratulations, and good luck with the children and the family building. Next thing I'll mention, ladies who are out there who are Terrence Howard fans who want to maybe boo up and snuggle up with Mr. Howard, well, as you know, he recently got married last year in 2010, January 2010, actually. Well, the couple are getting a divorce. unfortunate. Oh, yeah, sorry to hear. But the wife has filed for divorce of Terrence Howard, so he will be back on the market soon. And then my dog, Terrence, where have you been? I would love to see you back on the big screen. It's been a little while. So let's go ahead and grace us with something new. And then another celebrity doing newness would be Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry, of course, is kind of known for doing his character as Madea, his female character who's very outspoken, you know, does what she wants to do, has played in many of his movies that he has produced, directed, and written himself. And now Tyler Perry is gearing up to play Alex Cross in a Rob Cohen-directed film. This would be Tyler Perry's, for this next gig, Tyler Perry will be losing the wig and donning a suit and to play a detective psychologist. Alex Cross would be his name. In the production, this character has already been played by Morgan Freeman twice already, so people who are major Morgan fans are kind of skeptical, like, can Tyler Perry actually follow behind Morgan Freeman's shoes when they kind of feel that a role like this has already been portrayed very well and was made for Morgan Freeman. But Perry is definitely going to get out there and stretch his wings, you know, be his first major role outside of his own work, and he's going to undertake this and just, you know, give all that he has, so we're super excited. I am a Tyler Perry fan. I do enjoy his work personally, and I'll say this will be a good test of time to see how he does, how he takes on the reins of something else outside of his own works. As I went through, look at what bloggers had to say and some of their thoughts, one blogger wrote, "Has Hollywood gone crazy? I live Tyler Perry, but he can't touch the smoothness conveyed by Morgan Freeman and his charm. I predict this movie will flop. I know I won't be going to see it. Morgan Freeman is Alex Cross. He was made for the role. What is the problem here? Are you saying he is too old to cut the mustard?" Cut the mustard. Who says that these days? But anyhow, that was one blogger's opinion, while another one states, "Tyler will do just fine in the role. And yes, he has been in other dramatic roles that did not entail him to dress up like Madea. So let's give him a chance to step outside more often, and I am sure we will see his talent blossom. Look at the man. Look how the man has made millions with very little help from the industry. I bet he has some talent that is worth watching. It seems that people sometimes are scared to see someone grow. And he is very interested to see what happens with this character." So I, too, would have to admit that I am interested to see how this goes as well, because we have seen Tyler play what I'll call very safe roles, where he just played things that he's created. And, you know, between the plays and the movies, they were both his work. So he kind of knew the character because he created them. So to get out and get underneath someone else's direction will be a good look to see how that goes. So I'm excited to see what happens. So we all have to just keep our eyes out. Let's be on to the next one. The big game, the championship game, Super Bowl, Super Sunday. Oh, it's definitely approaching here rather quickly for you NFL fans. So this is something I kind of found out that was quite interesting. Have you noticed that through commercials and advertisements, the advertisers never really say the words Super Bowl? Huh, what is that about? Well, Super Bowl Sunday is like one of the biggest days for pizza delivery of the year, like two days of the year, but this is like one of them. And the nation's largest chains are preparing, one of them being Papa John's and other Pizza Hut. Papa John's website, there are no less than 5 references to the Super Bowl 2011 and the NFL. And then Pizza Hut's site, on the other hand, includes only one noticeable reference to the game. Why so? Let's flip over to television and radio. In the next few days, you'll hear a lot about the so-called big game or championship football. You know, local car dealerships, furniture stores, electronic outlets, and other advertisers will be promoting Super Bowl sales without actually saying those two words. It'll sound something like, "Go and save on that new HDTV before the big game." Or you also have, "Need some room for that championship party? Furniture Center has couches, no money down." Or just maybe, "Sunday is game day in Dallas. Stop party supplies here at." These are different ways you'll hear things being said, but they won't quite say
Super Bowl, do companies promote big game and the word championship parties instead of, say, Super Bowl, especially in a time like this? And especially sometimes as football players actually in the commercials, yet they'll still use generic names and not NFL teams. Well, as usual, it all comes down to money. Advertisers pay huge amounts of money to become an official sponsor of the NFL. And in doing so, they have to buy the rights to use legal logos, game footage, branding, and trademark phrases such as Super Bowl or Super Sunday. Companies that don't pay the premium resort to ambush marketing to get around these hence generic phrases like big game and to use a non-NFL jersey and game footage. And sometimes you wonder, well, how much does a person pay, you know, to get, you know, the official sponsorship? Well, I know one company, they pay a reported $1.2 billion over a six-year period. So $1.2 billion divided by six is still a ridiculous amount of money. So that's just how they do it. Just a little something I noticed, a little tidbit there. So I guess as you're out watching or listening to radio or watching television, see if you notice that. How many of these places actually say big game? So anyhow, but more importantly, I wanted to mention the Super Bowl halftime show. That's my favorite part of the game. If I watch Super Bowl, it's mainly to watch the halftime show because I love dance, I love performance. So I had to go find out exactly who was going to be on the halftime show. Well, NFL fans won't have to worry about another band past its prime, like the Who's or Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers or the Bruce Springsteen and the E-Band playing the halftime show at the Super Bowl in February. Super Bowl performances continue to take shape. As they continue to take shape, the halftime show is currently going to be headed up by the Black Eyed Peas, which will obviously be the main attraction at the Cowboys Stadium in Dallas. The band has prior experience playing on the big stage since they were a part of the 2005 Super Bowl pregame show that was titled Bridging the Generation. Then the Black Eyed Peas also performed at the 2009 NFL kickoff concert in Pittsburgh. But they are definitely going to grace the stage and do an awesome good time. That's why I recently played their music for the opening. That's their recent single, and I enjoy it. So I'm really excited to see what they do at the game. But a few more acts have been added to the roster. In addition, country star Keith Urban, Glee star Leah Michelle, and pop band Maroon 5 will also be making appearances. So you can keep an eye out for them. Michelle from Glee, or Leah from Glee, will be singing "America the Beautiful" before the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers kick off. While Maroon 5, led by frontman Adam Levine, will join Urban in the pregame show. So lastly, I'll mention they have confirmed that Christina Aguilera will be singing the national anthem. I will have to go on record by saying good selection. I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does with that. Some people have taken that national anthem and butchered it, and there's been others who have taken it and made it pure heaven to listen to, Jennifer Hudson being one of them. I'm not sure she did the Super Bowl or not. I can't recall, but I do know that she did sing the national anthem before, and it was awesome. So that's just a few tidbits, you guys, on what we should look forward to when it comes to Super Bowl halftime show. I can't wait to see them get up there and rock it out. And for you NFL fans, good luck with your teams. So anyhow, without further ado, stick around, and we will be right back to speak with Courtney Smith and hear about what's going on in politics.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Yeah, you know what it is. Everything I do, y'all, I do it big. Yeah, creeping back down. When I pulled off the line, that's done. Keep up in my town.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
I put it down from the whip to my diamonds on it.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Black stripe, yellow paint. I hear they're scared of it, but them pros ain't. Soon as I hit the club, look at them moon face. Hit the pedal once, make the floor shake. Sway inside, my engine roaring. The big boy, you know what I paid for it. And I got the pedal to the metal. Checking game, I'm ballin'
to start. Yeah,
You know what it is. Everything I do, yeah, I do it big.
Going on in the world and see what kind of laws being passed, how they plan on affecting our lives. And to do that, I have brought a friend of mine by the name of Courtney Smith to the show. Let me go ahead and welcome Courtney Smith to Love, Dance, and Hate Between Us. Courtney, are you there?
Hey, T'Angelo.
Well, good evening, kind sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm good. I'm just excited to hear about what's going on in the world and you know, get my knowledge on. So what's up? We missed. What was it last week? We talked about the State of the Union address. Yes.
Well, the State of the Union was a really good speech for Obama. It set our nation. It set our tone. It was a very different Congress for him when he spoke. He spoke it to a divided Congress. It was the first time in American history that the Congress actually sat together instead of divided. His speech kind of set forth different goals that we need to reach. He talked about the unemployment rate and what we need to do to move forward. He talked about taxes. He talked about the upcoming opposition against health care, which, I mean, we as a nation, we need to understand that we've had our Congress and our president signed a health care bill into law. Unfortunately, a lot of us disagree with it, but we're moving forward with it, and it's a new time in our nation. It's a time where everybody will actually be able to go to the doctor and get the preventative care that they need instead of going.
With this health, I'm going to cut in for a second. With this health care bill, there's so much involved in it, and I can say I don't know a lot of it. I know there's other countries like Canada where they, like everyone can just go to, you know, is that what they're reaching to do, is achieve what other countries already have going on?
Ultimately, we're one of the last developed nations that do not have I want to say free healthcare, but healthcare, affordable healthcare for the entire population. There, you know, the opposition says that it's going to clog up the system. It's going to cost a lot of money and whatnot, which are good oppositions, but it's about the greater good sometimes. Like, okay, is it wrong for us to exclude people from health, from doctors, access to doctors? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Is it wrong for us to jack up healthcare costs and make it not affordable for just the common people? You know, there's 4 million children uninsured that can't go to the doctor on a regular basis. They have to go to the hospital, and their parents can't afford to pay the hospital bills because it's so high. So, you know, I see both sides of the story. I will say that I'm not a supporter of the health care bill, but it's not because I don't want health care. I want it to be different. I think it should be more affordable health care and give people access to health care, where the health care bill, to me, is making it forced upon people. It's not an option. Like, you have to have health care. Like, when that bill comes into effect in 2014, you're got to have health care. It's like car insurance, but the national government is telling you that you have to have health care, where I think if you made it affordable, people would opt in to health care.
Okay. All right. So you have health care. What else did we discuss? Because how long was his speech?
His speech was, I want to say, an hour. He set forth that what we need to do for to create jobs and things like that. We have to get our budget under control. We gotta reduce our deficit. And in order to do that, he said that our wealthiest Americans cannot continue to have this tax break that they've had for the last five years now. He said we can't afford to continue to do that.
No, you don't have a tax break. I don't completely. Okay, so I hear about tax breaking. So they got a tax break, and we said the wealthy people get tax break, and common folks don't. Let's put that into
Well, I want to correct you. Everyone receives a tax break. Okay. Everyone received a tax break. President Bush in 2006 passed the Temporary Tax Relief Act to put the economy back on its feet. The concept of mine is, if I give people more money in their pocket, they will spend more and it will increase our economy. Well, that people are getting used to that money, and our economy is still not going at the rate it's going because people are saving it instead of spending it. And so, in turns, the wealthiest Americans are always forced to pay the bill of social programs and different government ventures, and sometimes they do need to get a tax break because ultimately they have the money that ultimately is going to kickstart the economy. So some people are going to be mad I said that statement, but ultimately they do. You know, we're talking millions and millions of dollars. They don't want to start the businesses. They don't want to open businesses. They want to buy the big SUVs and the big cars and things like that, the big houses where people are building these things, where people are working. So, but in turn,
they are the stimulus then.
I was just reading something online earlier that there's 403 billionaires in America, okay? And they control, if you put all their money together, it's $1.3 trillion.
And that guy from Facebook is one of them?
I didn't go through the whole list, but $1.3 trillion. If you take that and run with it, if that money was freed up, like if that was the money, the government could pay down its deficit in approximately 15 years. So,
which money? Which money do you want to take?
the 403 billionaires that we have in America, that $1.3 trillion.
You want to take all their money?
No, if you think about how much money that is in the scheme of things, you know, that's a lot of money for 403 people to control.
I understand that, but I'm saying, so we can't take all their money. I mean, they can't keep a million.
No, I'm not saying take any of their money. I said if that money was freed up in some way, then you could pay down the deficit and the debt in 15 years.
I see your point. Sounds kind of weird, but okay.
But the what's going on today is the civil unrest in Egypt. They have a dictator that has been in power for the last, I want to say 15 years, but don't quote me on the number. Who people are upset at and want him to. They want to have a free and open election.
Okay.
Some of his opposition is. Has got the people riled up, and they're mad, and they want him to step down now. He's agreed to step down in September during the election, so he will not seek re-election. But ultimately, he wasn't being re-elected. He was taking over. He was just they would have an election, and whoever won, he didn't give up power. He agreed.
You could just do that?
In certain countries, you can do that.
And the person who won the election, where do they go?
They get exiled. there is issues with some of these dictatorships. You know, they want to be a democracy, but really they're just wearing it by a different skirt. They're really a dictatorship. They don't have time limits on their governments and government officials, and they just run up the time, and they stay in power forever, and they get more powerful because people fear them and things like that. So the thing in Egypt is very sad, but what's bad about it is the United States has his hands tied, because ultimately you have to fight alongside of the people. But we have a war on terrorists, and the Egyptian government has been a huge supporter on our war on terror.
Right.
It's also a Muslim nation as well, and you can't. I mean, we're not the best people in the Muslim community at this moment, but. But you can't tick them off either, you know. And so they've been doing a lot of back channel, a lot of back talks, and that's what the compromise. Ultimately, him stepping down in September is the compromise. Although the people want him to step down now, the ultimate compromise is he steps down in September. And I think I want to give that credit to our president in talking with him and things like that. Never publicly saying he needs to step down. But behind the scenes, talking to him like, okay, you need to get out and you need to run when you get out.
And real quick, I'll make another turn here. I was going to pull it to a close. I want to ask about the job market. You mentioned that the job market and things as such. What's going on with that? What are we trying to do to better this situation?
Our unemployment rate is down 0.4%. It went from 9.8% unemployment to 9.4%. Which is a great thing. There's a million less people unemployed. But according to the General Budgeting Office, that we will have our unemployment rate will increase back to 9.8 in the next year and a half. And then it will finally make a turn towards the downturn. So right now these jobs are temporary. So if a temporary downshift is good, if the president can keep the economy going in the right direction, then we will see him get reelected in 2012. If it continues to go with this downturn, we're going to see a struggle in 2012.
Okay. Well, that's what we'll have to shoot for and aim for. Well, I want to say thank you, Courtney, for giving us a call and giving us an insight on some of the issues and things that are going on currently. I do appreciate that.
Not a problem. Anytime. Thanks for
having me. All righty, buddy. And most definitely. Until next time, you continue to have a good day.
You too. Thanks.
All righty. And we run along. All righty, so we'll go on to the next topic here. Let's see. So, Courtney, we closed on talking about the job market, and I thought that was very interesting what he had to say as far as, you know, things have gotten better, you know, where a million more people have jobs that didn't have them before, and we continue to keep looking for jobs. And so as we're out there searching and whatnot, it's kind of like, what techniques are going on? What are people doing? How are they going about, you know, getting themselves the jobs? And not just any kind of job, you know, a job that allows you to feed your family and to also enhance and increase your resume. And so I want to discuss a story that I found. Excuse me a second. That I had located that the gentleman who wrote this talked about the and factor, which is something that he learned, and he's kind of utilized to help him take a new approach to getting work. And Ali Adar was his name, Ali Adar. How a new approach helps me land a job in this economy is what he entitled his piece. And it says, he spent 5 years searching for a career-like job that would last until he retired. Like millions of other Americans in the bad economy from 2006-2010, finding a job was nearly impossible. Despite following all the advice from headhunters, human resource consultants, friends, or family members, it was the term, the and factor, job search strategy that finally landed him his job. He is over 50 years old and had a failed business and has an MBA from 1981, when most of his interviewers were not even born. Most human resource professionals looked at him and said, "And why should I hire you?" Or, "And what makes you better than the other 2,000 applicants who are younger, or the other 2,000 younger applicants?" Well, many job seekers share similar backgrounds, and they have some college-level degree, they have years of supervisory management experience, and have family to feed who had not looked for a job in over 20 years. And they're old-school thinkers. They have old-school resume preparations and job interview techniques and networking is all from a different time. And one day, Adar said he was watching a television program that profiled other older professionals trying to find a job. And it was then he realized a couple of things. That a lot of these jobs ask the question of, and why, and who, and all those things. So he decided to try something different for his strategy. And it says, strategy is the and factor. And the job search strategy is to answer the questions of and factor before they have to get to it. So one thing he mentioned was to avoid old ways of selling yourself. It's a new time, it's gone of a new age, and so you want to look at what is going on right now in the world, what is going on now in the market. So with Microsoft Word and all the internet stuff, you really want to get yourself into that. Find ways to utilize the new medium that is taking on in the professional world to sell yourself, everything from the Facebook to Twitter, with Google and YouTube, all these new things you can utilize. And if you're older and not quite sure how to experience, there's always YouTube tutorials and other programs that can assist you with that. He also said get a niche for yourself. Find something that makes yourself, stick out instead of building a resume that screams, "I know a little bit about everything but master in nothing." Go ahead and say, "I have an MBA in marketing and 25-year experience in marketing, sales, business development, training, teaching, and publishing." And guess what? These things kind of stick out a little bit more than the others, you know. And then lastly, he mentioned distinguish yourself. When you do that, it's kind of like, for example, if a hiring manager reads two resumes, one that says, "I was responsible for researching, writing, and winning a $30 million a year and winning a $30 million a year contest that the company put together, a five-year blanket purchase agreement for a mid-sized company, and allowed the company to meet their 20% annual growth goal. And then another resume that comes from a college student that happens to say, I'm certified in business and with a focus in business marketing, which sounds a little more compelling. He would be the one with all the experience, and that's how you would distinguish yourself. So when it comes down to the question of why should I hire you over the other one, or and what makes you better, or and what do you have to offer the company, all those things will have been touched on inside of your resume or inside the way that you sell and approach the things that you do. So these are just some factors, you guys, that helped another job seeker that might work for you. So when you approach trying to tackle the job market and searching for a new job, just go ahead and attack it from the and factor, which is this is what I can offer, and I should be hired for this reason, and I can do this, and I will bring this to the company, and I am looking forward to enhancing, you know, just go that route about it. And, you know, who knows, it might help you as well and to reaching your professional and career goals, okay? So we're going to take a break here for a second, and when we return, we'll be chatting with Michael Real, the senior editor of RealUrbanNews.com.
I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming.
I'm back where I belong. I never felt so strong, and
I'm back,
I'm feeling like there's nothing I can't try. And if you with me, put your hands high.
You haven't lost a life before. This one's for you.
Me, put your hands high.
The dreams are still rocking with the best. I'll be on the phone.
I hear the tears of a clown. I hate that song. I always feel like they're talking to me when it comes on. Another day, another dawn. Another Keisha, nice to meet you, get the map, I'm gone. What am I supposed to do in a club life? Come on, it's easy to be punk, but it's harder to be Sean. What if my twins ask me why I ain't married a mom? Damn, how do I respond? What if my son stares with a face like my own and says he wants to be like me when he's grown? Shit, but I ain't finished grown. Another night, the inevitable prolong. Another day, another dawn, come on. Tell Keisha and Teresa I'll be better in the mold. Another lie that I carry on. I need to get back to the place I belong.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Yeah.
Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday.
Ain't no
I know my kingdom away. And they've forgiven my mistakes.
Thank you.
I'm coming home.
I'm coming home. Check this out. A house is not a home. I hate this song. Is a house really a home when your loved ones is gone? And niggas got the nerve to blame you for it. And you know you would've took the bullet if you saw it. But you felt it and still feel it. And money can't make up for it. All can steal it. What you deal with. And you keep balling. Draw up some liquor, playboy. And we keep balling. Baby, we've been living in sin. Cause we've been really in love. But we've been living as friends. So you've been a guest in your own home. It's time to make your house your own. Pick up the phone and come
home. I'm coming home. Tell the world.
Stopping us now, I love that song. Whenever it comes on, it makes me feel strong. I thought I told her that we won't stop till we back cruising through Harlem. These old blocks is what made me, saved me, drove me crazy, drove me away, then embraced me, forgave me for all of my shortcomings. Welcome to my homecoming. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. A lot of fights, a lot of scars, a lot of bottles, a lot of cars, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. Made it back off my door.
Miss you, big.
But here I stand, a better man. Thank you, Lord.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Yeah. What's going on, you guys? This is your boy, T'Angelo. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Love, Dance, and the Hate Between Them. Well, now we're going to actually speak with the awesome, great guy, a native of Los Angeles, California, Michael Real. Quickly grasp the values of being able to communicate in a solid and fluid fashion. Real has worked with ABC's World News Tonight, 2020, and many other news media outlets. He has had the opportunity to work with respected and famed journalists, including Peter Jennings, Diane Sawyer, Ted Koppel, and Barbara Walters, just to name a few. Michael has covered such well-publicized stories as the Columbia space shuttle disaster, the O.J. Simpson double murder trial, the Kobe Bryant rape case, and the Scott Peterson murder case and trial, and not to mention, lastly, I'll state, Michael Jackson's arrest and child molestation trial. Michael was the first national network news producer to break the passing of a celebrity attorney, Johnny Cochran, Jr. Well, while he is currently working in the realm of new media, he has co-founded RealUrbanNews.com in 2009, where he serves as the editor. Since its foundation, RealUrbanNews.com has featured interviews with a countless number of people. He goes on to continue to reach great heights, and if you get a chance, definitely check out RealUrbanNews.com, where you see interviews with all sorts of people, and he's a great, awesome guy. So I want to welcome to Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them, Michael Real.
We are delighted to share with you and your audience, and it's a pleasure to be with you. I didn't expect that. I didn't know your crowd was that big. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I know it's a shocker when you walk into the studio. Yeah, you know.
You're able.
Well, thank you. With great guys like you, I truly do appreciate that, Michael. So how are you doing?
T'Angelo, it's been a wonderful week. As you know, working in this new media realm, which has really captivated America, every week is a high coupled with lows, and normally you end on a high. So it's been a great week for RealUrbanNews.com.
That's awesome. And you guys, just so you know, me and Michael are good friends. We've known each other for quite some time now. He has been a wonderful asset and a major influence and mentor to me and my newness to the world of media. So I wanted to take this time to say thank you, Michael, for just sticking around for a little red-headed poster child like me.
Well, thank you for your kindness. But more importantly, thank you for your tenacity and your willingness to learn and your willingness to tell. And more importantly than to tell, but what's more important is to share our story. And when I say share our story, I mean from the African-American perspective. It's important that African-Americans, young, middle-aged, and senior, grasp the African-American story and tell it. And through T'Angelo, Love, Dance, and the Hate Between Them, I've been following your show. You allow people to tell our story, and that's not only important, but it's significant as a new media journalist. And you are a new media journalist, and we appreciate you for having RealUrbanNews.com on this evening.
Well, thank you, and that is a part of me, myself, my show, as well as EOTM as a whole, is just to really showcase, especially for me, I think the most important thing is to showcase, especially young America, who doesn't get to see that we are out here doing great things. And I've had countless people on my show, when I count it, about 15. But, and, you know, it just shows that, and that's why I really had to have you on, because your resume, and even researching you as I was preparing for you, I was like, ugh. And I even said to you, why do you even talk to me? Like, why do you even bother talking to T'Angelo? You hang out with people like Barbara Walters.
What's interesting is, though, T'Angelo, and just as we all remain humble and grasp from humility, is that you, along with EOTM Radio, are reaching the audience that needs to be reached. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, we count it a privilege to talk with people who have their finger on the pulse of the new America, from South America to North America and throughout Europe, this line of communication via EOTMradio.com is not only transferring and translating and transcribing, but more importantly, your work as a journalist, new media journalist, you're imparting people with knowledge about the Americana lifestyle, but more importantly, the positive aspects of young African Americans like yourselves, which I know covering America is often distorted when you travel abroad.
Right, right. Well, enough about all of us EOT and media should be. As wonderful as it sounds, you make it sound like, ooh, is that us?
Enough of that. Okay.
Yeah, it's awesome. But no, I want to hear more about you. So we're discussing all these stories you've covered from the Michael Jackson molestation and the O.J. Simpson. Now, to my understanding, you were actually at these places. You do a lot of field media, don't you?
Yes, I had the privilege of serving as a film producer, ranging back to O.J. 1, when he was initially tried for the murder of his former wife or ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson.
I was in the eighth grade when that happened.
Don't date me.
I was in the eighth grade when that happened. I was. Sorry. Go ahead.
But you know what? History has no date. History's lifetime. I was there.
Got it.
So, and since that experience, and even covering Waco from a newsroom at KABC Los Angeles, which is the O&O station of ABC News in Los Angeles, I've covered large stories, and I've had the privilege of covering large stories, meeting the principals, meeting the people, meeting the lawyers, meeting the defense attorneys, meeting the prosecutors, meeting the investigators, and all of those different interactions have really shaped my communication and journalism career through the years.
That's awesome. Now, with all that you've done, one thing I love to talk about for the new generation coming up in this, who's looking to, you know, follow behind. What did you do? Why were you successful?
I'll share this with you. As I shared, I was lecturing at Rust College in Holly Springs, Mississippi, and I also lectured.
A little quick tip, you guys know that is where Mr. Real went to. He went to and graduated from Rust College.
That's my alma mater. They call me back. I also lectured recently at the Piney Woods School, one of America's leading African-American-only boarding schools. And
okay.
I talk about new media. It is incumbent that persons like yourself, T'Angelo, and other young people tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
And when I crisscross this nation, as a journalist, I've told the majority population story. And when I mean the majority population, I've shared the white American story.
Mm-hmm.
I've shared the white woman's story, the white man's story. I've shared those stories. I've covered those stories. But our stories are often misplaced or depicted in a negative environment. Case in point, this week we posted a series on soul food. Soul food is the original American food.
Right, right.
Hot dogs, French fries, and hamburgers come from Germany and France. Soul food is a derivative of slaves. Black mothers and black grandmothers took the scraps of the master and made masterful meals. Paula Deen did not make or create macaroni and cheese. She don't fry chicken better than your mama. Your mama fried chicken better than Paula Deen. And our responsibilities as journalists covering our people, African American newsmakers, it's to tell our story, and that's what we do at realmrnews.com.
So, again, I'm just going to kind of go back a little bit. So what steps did you take to get to where you are today?
The steps taken were I'm an avid news junkie. I'm an avid reader. I read 3 or 4 papers, probably about 8 or 9 papers a day now that they're online. Probably up to 10 or 15 papers a day, headlines, opinions, and columns. I love information. I'm an information junkie. I like to know what's going on. I don't have to be in Egypt to know what's going on in Egypt. Mm-hmm. I can talk to somebody here in Los Angeles who has a relative, an Egyptian who has a relative in Egypt. One thing I do, Tangelo, and I do it quite well, my gas station attendant, and this is just being real with you, my gas station attendant is Egyptian. And I have communication with him. I established it well before the eruption that we see in Egypt now. I'm in communication with him. He's talking to his family, and he's sharing with me on a daily basis the turmoil and the trauma that is taking place in his country. Mm-hmm. But as a journalist, I establish relationships that are long-lasting and building. So as a journalist, when I was young, I was always focused on building relationships with people, personality, and personnel that would suit me and benefit us as I grew as a journalist.
Okay. So now I'm just putting it together in perspective. So now I'm coming from Waco, Texas or something, and I'm going to move to Los Angeles because I want to be a journalist. And I've made a couple of networks, what you're saying, so networking is important. Got a couple of networks going. And what's one other major thing you'd recommend a person do who's stepping into this world? Other than if you mentioned reading, definitely staying up.
Yeah, I would say stay in Waco. Waco has enough news that becomes national. What I suggest to young journalists, budding journalists, graduating college, from Ivy League to your community college, and more importantly to your historic black colleges, is find a job in a location, in a city, either where you're from or a city where your school is planted.
Mm-hmm.
Do an internship either when you go home for the summer, do an internship at your local O&O station, at your local station, your local independent station, your local owned and on station. But do an internship. When I lecture around the country, I always tell classes and students and even faculty, an internship is an elongated interview. And those people will hire you to come back and work in their station if you do a successful interview, successful internship. Get coffee, get lunch, get muffins, bring coffee, take clothes to the cleaners. Next thing you know, you're shooting cameras. You're doing interviews. As a journalist, you have to be able to do a wide spectrum. Get coffee some days. Some days, get the interview when you're starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Be flexible and be real.
Okay. Now, speaking of getting the interview, you interviewed someone that I personally can't wait to meet, and next time you have dinner with him, you'll have to call me. Choreographer Travis Payne. For those who don't know, I was lucky to catch up with
Travis after the passing of his good friend and colleague. They definitely had a working relationship after the passing of Michael Jackson. Travis Payne, who initially toured with Janet Jackson.
And so everybody, just so you guys know, Travis Payne was one of the main choreographers that worked with Michael and also worked with Janet Jackson, that is. Okay, go ahead.
But Travis was initially hired by Janet to be a dancer, and then he morphed through growth into being a choreographer for Michael. And he spoke with Michael on the day of Michael's passing that morning. But you talk about humility.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about being well-respected as a choreographer, as a Hollywood insider. Travis Payne is that. We celebrate him for his new show on CBS, and we wish him all the best. But he is an A-list celebrity. But more important than being a celebrity, he's an A-list person, and we just congratulate him. He did share with us on RealUrbanNews.com about his time and opportunity to share with the King of Pop, Michael Jackson. And he was very honest, very forthright. We appreciated him for that.
And so I would say, to listeners, if you want to check out this interview, you can definitely go to RealUrbanNews.com, and that's Real spelled R-E-E-L, news.com, RealUrbanNews.com, and check that interview out. It was a good interview, and I, too, did enjoy. So now you have worked with, it seems like, a lot of different, you've interviewed a lot of different people, you work with a lot of different broadcast stations and whatnot. What are you looking to achieve now? What's next for Michael Real?
Well, what we're doing now is building on our background. We've been able to interview Gail Mitchell with Billboard Magazine, Congressman James E. Clyburn, former Majority Whip, he's now the Minority Whip, U.S. House Representative Allison Samuels, senior writer of Newsweek Magazine, Hezekiah Walker, Grammy Award winner, Dr. David E. Beckley, president of Rush College, Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright, President Obama's former pastor and author of the new book, Sankofa Moment, Sean Chapman, who is a celebrity attorney. She represents Lindsay Lohan, Carl Douglas, who represents O.J. Simpson, and also represents one of the Michael Jackson bodyguards, Thomas Mesereau, who was Michael Jackson's defense attorney in his last criminal trial.
Mm-hmm.
We are building upon those names and those personalities. What's been so fascinating and blessing for us as a new media news outlet is that African-American leaders in various fields want to share their story.
Right.
Main media is not interested in telling their stories. They want to they want to see us when we're down and out. They want to see us when we have a Charlie Sheen moment.
Right.
But a lot of times, African Americans in leadership, we don't have the opportunity to have a Charlie Sheen moment. If I come to work drunk or high, I'm fired.
It's done.
It's over.
Right.
But
right.
We've been blessed as journalists covering our people, telling our stories that are always compelling and always exceptional, that they come to realurbannews.com and tell their story. And it's more like a Charlie Rose feel, a conversation. We don't have any kind of gotcha questions. We don't know who you slept with. It's no gossip.
Right, right. And I'm saying
intelligent news
really
for intelligent people.
I was going to say that's one thing I would say that I know a lot of people have to admire about working with Real Urban News is that you guys do very respectful, it's good content. You know, it's good content, but it's not raunchy. It doesn't require someone to say, I got your question or trying to catch you up. It's simply, this is what it is, and I think that's awesome. Now, because of your style, recently you were on CNN. What was that about?
I've been on CNN a few times. You're very good. You did your homework.
The story I want to focus on is the one where you had a controversial comment about the blacks and white mixing in the churches. Let's talk about that story.
We did a story. I was gonna allude to that story. I was called to give my opinion. I was a managing editor of a former managing editor for the National Baptist Voice magazine, which was the official publication of the National Baptist Convention, the largest black convention in America. And we did and I was called on behalf of CNN, a story they were working on with a pastor in Orange County, Martin Whitlock, who believed that whites and blacks should integrate on Sunday. Keep in mind that Sunday is the most prejudiced and segregated day in America.
Right.
And my principle, my stand is that African Americans should worship with African Americans on Sunday. It's the only place we have left that we own. The Baptist church, the black church, be it Church of God in Christ, be it holiness, be it a Muslim, that's our center of worship. That's the only place our kids. Whitney Houston grew up in church. Maya Angelou grew up in church. our leaders come from the church roles.
Right, right.
And if we don't harness our leadership from the church roles, we lose a lot and leave a lot to America, to the popular culture of America to distort.
And then what do you say to, I know one person on the special, I'm not sure exactly who it was, mentioned all the hooping and the culture of the church is just too much to them. What do you say to that?
Well, different cultures have different experiences. African Americans need to be proud of our experience.
Mm-hmm.
We have experiences that no other race can tout. We come from a land that we were robbed from. We were stolen from. We didn't bring
right.
our noodles with us as the Italians. We didn't bring our whiskey as the Irish. We came naked, clothed in chains. And our historicity is rich. We made something out of nothing in this country. I don't want to have to preach up over here on the EOTV radio. But our historicity is rich in taking soil to success. And if you listen to Adolph Dooling, he talks about soul food. Soul food. Mm-hmm. Paula Deen did not create soul food. We took the part of the pig, which is a European animal, which is not even an American animal, and made chitlins and pig hoofs and pig snouts and pig ears into a delicacy, which is sold all around the world at high prices.
Right.
But that was food that the slave master threw to us in an effort to throw the food away. We didn't grow up on pork chops. We grew up on no schnapps.
All right, Doc. I'm done. All right.
We're just glad to be with you this evening.
All right, okay. Well,
you said, all right.
Okay, with that being said, the last thing I can simply say is, so what should we look forward to next? Who's going to be on the Real Urban News next? Who should we look out for?
You know what, T'Angelo, we've been really, really fortunate. We've had a lot of great people with us, and we're going to continue in that venue. We're looking forward to talking with the co-founder of the Pan-African Film Festival.
Oh, okay. I think I'll just imagine.
We'll interview him next week. We're also interviewing the dean of the Annenberg School of Communication at USC, along with his wife, who's a professor at USC.
Wait, I'm
not giving you guests.
No, you said, I don't want to, okay. No, okay.
I'm not giving you guests.
Okay,
in addition
fine,
to that, I'm moving on. I'm moving on.
I just don't want to go to that school.
Yeah, you just keep the Lord in prayer. But we've had a wonderful opportunity to share at this platform, telling and sharing our story. So we look forward to those two stories coming up. We're working closely with a very young, talented attorney named Jamon Hooks from the Cochran firm. He was a guest on our show, but he keeps us in the loop on what they're working on. So we're looking at a plethora of issues from social, from a history standpoint, and law standpoint. We just recently on our site is currently on our site is Errol Paysinger. He's the assistant chief of police for the LAPD. He's the highest ranking African American officer currently at the LAPD, which is a worldwide police force, recognized as a worldwide outstanding police force. We've been very blessed, T'Angelo, and the work just continues, and we continue telling our story. Our stories, mm-hmm. which are compelling, and our stories, which are exceptional.
Well, that's awesome. Well, everybody, you definitely want to check out these exceptional stories at realurbannews.com, where you can see all that we've talked about and all that he says is coming up. That is awesome. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for coming on to Love, Dance, and Between Them this evening.
T'Angelo, if I can real quick, let me thank you for having us on Love, Dance, and the Hate Between Them. And allow me to share with you my road to success as a journalist, but more importantly, my my contribution to your show. I'm so proud of you and proud of the work that you do. And I appreciate your guts and your gutsiness to step off their own faith and realize that it's important to share our story, our history, with our people. I'm Michael Real.
All right, everybody. We want to say thank you so much to Michael Real for this. That was a wonderful exit. If I say so myself, I can't even follow behind it. So without further ado, you guys, we'll be right back after this. On. This is your boy T'Angelo here on Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them. And if you're just tuning in, you just happen to have missed an awesome interview with a great guy by the name of Michael Real of RealUrbanNews.com. So if you've got to tune in a little later, definitely check the show out once it's in archive and just check out the interview. Michael, you're the greatest. I love it. So anyhow, you guys, speaking of telling our story and things of that nature,
this is February Black History Month, and for this week, I want to highlight Sidney Poitier, a native of Cat Island by the Bahamas. He was originally born in Miami during a mainland visit of his parents. Poitier grew up in poverty as a son of a dirt farmer. He had little formal education, and at the age of 15, he was sent to Miami to live with his brother. The fact that he was raised not in America, he wasn't really used to some of the things that was going on here. So his first experience of racial issues and the divide in the country came once he arrived to the age of 15, and he was a great shock when he found how our society was with African Americans. And since he comes from a place where society was majority black, he wasn't used to this. At the age of 18, he went to New York, and he did a handful of different jobs. One day he auditioned for the American Negro Theater, but was rejected, and forcefully took Poitier into deciding that he wanted to get rid of his accent so he could try to audition again. And then for his second round, he did make it into the company. Sidney Poitier is one of the biggest accomplishments that he is noted for is in 1963 he became the first black man to win an Academy Award for his role as Homer Smith in Lilies of the Field. And as you can imagine, in the 60s, this was a major accomplishment, for someone, a black man to be honored in the Academy Awards was like kind of unheard of. And because, black faces weren't seen in television in a way that was regularly or in a positive light, and to give us credit for what we did do was just not a common thing. And so he did win that, and it was a major step for black America in what would later become Hollywood. So I'm going to go ahead and play a little something that he had to say about his time and how he felt about winning that. Listen to this.
I did Lilies of the Field. I had no thought of Alaska, none. But I was taken with the material. I was overwhelmed with the possibility of trying to create this particular guy. And I did create him with no thought of Alaska. It was the farthest thing from my mind, I can tell you that. I knew, I just felt that I was not going to win. But of course, I was there to experience the presence and say to the winners. My name was. I had no idea that I had it. I leaped up right there. That one could possibly reach for.
Well, you guys, I would just say we want to go ahead and say thank you, Sidney Poitier, for your ambition and what you have done for us just within Hollywood, taking that major step. And you guys, you can definitely do more research on Sidney Poitier. He's an awesome guy. I had a chance of meeting him before, and he is just as nice and kind-hearted as all the people I have heard speak of him had to say. He sits on the USC School of Cinema Television Board of Counselors. He is a great-grandfather. He's just an awesome person, and I look forward to speaking with him again. And if Lord willing, that'll be sooner than later. So, you guys, we're going to go ahead and just pull this to a close. Sidney Poitier, again, I want to thank you as I'm pulling out here, but our lives have truly and truly been blessed. All
All righty, you guys. Well, I'm going to have to hurry and get up out of here. Time is pulling to a close. I had wanted to share that Queen Latifah commercial with you guys again, but instead, I'm going to close out with the EOTM NAACP radio, mix that Carter B and myself did a couple of weeks back at the NAACP 42nd Image Awards nominee announcement. And I want you guys to hear that. But before we go, I'm going to go ahead and say thank you to Courtney Smith for your insight. Thank you, Michael Rio, for our time. Again, thank you, Sydney Poitier, for all you have done. And definitely, guys, check us out next week as Love Dance and Hate Between Them comes back. Don't forget, you can always email me at tangelo@eotmmedia.com with any questions you may have. And if you're interested in advertisement, we would definitely look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, you guys, this is T'Angelo with Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them. And I just want to say, dance as though no one is watching, just live.
Hey, y'all, this is Sanaa Lathan, and you're watching EOTM Media.
Hello, I'm Carla B.
And I am T'Angelo Bell.
And we are here at the 42nd Annual NAACP Nominations Awards Press Conference and Nominees Announcement.
Yes, and the NAACP Awards is a premier multicultural awards presentation and show that honors people of color who have performed and achieved outstandingly. Everything from writing, motion picture directing, singing, literature, directing. I mean, we are going to honor it all.
Yes.
And also to those who promote social justice through their creative efforts. So stay with us as EOTM Media takes you on a journey. Everyone from Kimberly, Elise, 50 Cent, Sanaa Lathan, all going to be right here in just a few moments. So stick around and see what happens.
Kimberly, Elise.
So how are you doing this morning?
I'm fantastic.
So what brings you out this morning?
I came out to participate in announcing the nominees for the NAACP Awards. I think, what are we at? 42?
Yeah, 42nd.
42.
Yeah. So now with all that you have done in your career and you've strived and done such great things, what is an affirmation that kind of keeps you going, something that just drives you to continue forward?
I think it's always important for I'm speaking to women of color in particular and young girls, is
mm-hmm.
to remind yourself over and over, I am greatness, I am greatness, I am greatness, I am greatness, I am greatness. Because
right.
you're bombarded all day long with things that want to lessen your self-esteem and lessen your image of yourself.
What question for you, and it's in regards to the NAACP, of course, why is supporting the NAACP Image Award so important to our culture?
Because they've always supported us.
Right.
And we've needed them. Unfortunately, we continue to need
right.
them.
We're standing here with Afion. So how is it going for you today?
Oh, it's going great. I'm here with T'Angelo and Carla. We're getting
yeah.
it popping right now.
Now, you're standing on stage with beautiful Sanaa Lathan.
Oh, man.
How do you focus?
Come on, man. You don't.
So tell me, what is your feelings behind the 42nd Annual NAACP Image Award?
Look here, when you have an organization like the NAACP that's still going strong, pushing the mandate of celebrating black folks,
right.
people of color, you got to support that. So I'm
well, you guys, we're currently standing here with Columbus Shore. So how are you doing this morning?
Good, man. Early.
NAACP Awards, what does it mean to you to be involved in such a event?
I mean, they nominated me in 2009. I won in 2009. And I think the NAACP Image Awards is the best platform and format to honor and give and encourage, you know, the talent that's
right.
nominated.
Hello, yes, we are still here at the NAACP 42nd Annual Nominations Press Conference, and oh my goodness, we just actually saw 50 Cent, Sanaa Lathan, Kimberly Elise, as well as a slew of other really great actors and actresses.
I'm standing here with Sanaa Lathan, and I'm with EOTM Media. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
I'm ecstatic I'm standing here with you.
Oh, you're so sweet.
My best friend is so going to be jealous. What brings you out this morning?
I was here to celebrate all the wonderful talent that we have in our community, all the wonderful nominees.
With all that you've done in your career, what is like an affirmation or something that you keep with you to continue pushing you forward?
First of all, I surround myself with very positive people.
Okay.
You know,
that's a good
I think
one.
That's probably a big one.
Okay.
Because when I do get down, you know, there's not even a chance to sit there and wallow in it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.